Hey everyone, this is the Jade Marissa podcast. This is episode 6. Talking to you from Thailand about the good, bad and ugly in combat sports and pop culture. On this episode, I'm here with a very special guest. It is my brother, Aaron Sirisampan. He is commentator of Thai Fight and many other fight promotions. So today, we are going to talk about yesterday's ONE Championship Enter the Dragon Featherweight Kickboxing Tournament in Singapore. So, first one, what do you want to add? Aaron, you started off.
All right, Jade, nice introduction there. Thanks for joining us, everybody. So yeah, first of all, featherweight kickboxing tournament, I think it's a fantastic idea. Sticking 8 of the best fighters together in that sort of tournament format is always exciting. Mm-hmm. I don't mind seeing rankings 1 to 10 and who the next challenger is for the title. But to see a knockout tournament, it's always exciting.
So the 8 people who was in this tournament, will start off, it was Giorgio Petrosian, Pech Morakot, Pech Shindy Academy, and Anisawa got changed to Sasha Moiser against Joe Natterwood. Then we had Yodson Clay vs Sami Sana, Dezabar Askarov, and Enrico Kale.
Yeah, so the first fight of the tournament saw Askarov against Kale. And my prediction for that fight was actually Kale. I know Jabbar and Kale have fought a couple of times before, and I think Jabbar's come out on top. But I really thought Kale had his number this time. I really thought because, you know, Jabbar's getting older. I've seen him fight in Kunlun and commentated on him in Kunlun, and he didn't look as good as he has been, and I thought Kale's stock was rising. But to be honest, I thought that fight was a little bit disappointing.
Yesterday?
Yeah, I really thought that they both were going to come out and, you know, and show off their skills, but they looked a little bit sluggish and... You know, I thought Jabbar had the first round. Kale did really well in the second to come back. But then Jabbar, by the end of the second, he rocked Kale. So I'm not sure which round that went. However, in the third round, Jabbar was just throwing that rolling thunder kick. And he think it 3 times, I think.
Yeah,
four
he did.
Times.
He fell a lot as well. And he started going into a lot of those spinning desperation.
Yeah,
sort of moves.
And I feel like that was a time-wasting tactic.
Yeah.
Because Kale was decimating his body. And there was a lot of markings around his stomach area. I think he was gasping by the end. But anyway, yeah, I mean, I guess it could have gone either way. But yeah, Jabbar got the nod.
But I definitely felt like Kale started off throwing a lot more weapons, showing a lot more usage of his technique, going high, low, had good use of his longer knees. Whereas Dezabar, yep. He was coming out with a lot more power shots, you know, really relying on his punches.
Yeah, that's standard Askarov for sure, yeah. And Kale, he is, I think he's more technical than Jabbar. But,
I think so.
But yeah, either way, congratulations to Askarov and he goes through and that's fine.
Yeah.
That was fine. Like I said, I think they both underperformed. Maybe that's a bit harsh, but whatever.
Well, I mean, ONE Championship with their 2-day weigh-ins is a bit difficult for the fighters, I think. You know, a lot of them...
Why is that?
Why do they have 2-day weigh-ins?
No, well, why do you think it's more difficult for fighters to cut?
Because you have to maintain their weight longer.
Okay.
But and then also with the hydration test as well, so it has to be a right balance.
I understand that, but do you not think that's safer for the fighters?
Well, that's... what they're supposed to do, right? That's why they implemented this new technique of weigh-ins, is to make it safer.
I understand what you're saying, but if you look at WBC, biggest boxing organization in the world, arguably, they do the same thing. They have week-by-week weight cuts to make sure the fighters are on weight and they're not dropping serious weight right at the end.
Week-by-week, but then ONE Championship do it within the same week.
Right, okay. Well, just 2 weight cuts, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't really affect them.
I don't know. It's one weight cut is tiring, so it really depends how much weight they are losing in the beginning.
So, well, if those are the rules, then you know. Look, we'll get on to who lost, okay? But they fought for ONE Championship and performed very, very well before that. So, come on, no excuses in my eyes, anyway.
Yeah. Okay. But I did hear some insider notes that a few of these fighters were struggling at both of the weigh-ins, and then a couple of them may have.
Who?
We'll get into that.
All right.
All right, so the next one in the tournament, that was fight number 8 of the night, and that was Smoking Joe Natterwood against Sasha Moiser.
Yeah, great fight.
Yeah.
I've seen Sasha Moiser fight on Thai Fight before. I know he does a lot of left way, and he knocks out his opponents. He's got a really wicked right hand. He knocked out Sensatan in Thai Fight, and it was Karchek, which was the roped hand.
Right.
But even so, to knock out Sensatan, who's a former stadium champion, with ease the way he did, was very, very impressive. So when I heard that Andy Sauer was being removed was injured. I don't know what the circumstances were. Yeah, I'm not sure of the circumstances. And they put in Moise, who was originally supposed to fight Daniel Dawson, I believe, who won earlier that night. I thought that was dangerous for Smoking Joe. Obviously, we're Smoking Joe fans because he trains out of Luktafar when he comes to Asia to prepare for one championship. So, yeah, we were all about hoping Smoking Joe would win.
I was actually quite disappointed in Moise's performance. I think he would come out a little bit more powerful than this. And I don't know.
No, to be honest, well, I understand. I don't think he underperformed. I think what Smoking Joe did a great job of was neutralizing that right hand by attacking his legs. And as you know, if you attack the legs, then how you get the power from the ground upwards is gone. And he did a tremendous job of doing that. He attacked and then he was covering up. His defense was great. I was thinking, maybe Moise, he's not prepared. But he was actually scheduled to fight on this card, if anyone doesn't know.
Fight training card.
So, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think Joe, he was amazing. He came out with all different weapons. He answered every shot that Moise was throwing at him. And he came out with high, low body shots, putting great combinations. I think he was just ready for a fight.
Yeah, and eventually caught him with that right hook.
Yeah,
Sasha Moise was off balance. He was able to get up, and then Joe just put a stranglehold on him. And he just punished him, and then the referee stepped in. But fair play to Moise. He wasn't going down. And he comes from Behzad's gym, obviously.
Yeah.
Behzad, who's a former fighter, former world champion. He now has his own gym. He shares with Sang Marukot, and he's produced some really good fighters out of there. So props to Behzad for producing Sasha. And I hope to see Sasha again because he's only young. He might be one of the youngest fighters in the tournament, I think, looking at that card. So, yeah.
But I did feel like his style was a little bit more Muay Thai rather than kickboxing.
Okay, maybe. That's a fair assumption, considering that he actually fights most of his fights in Muay Thai.
Whereas Joe, being based in America, he's able to have a good, strong background in boxing and kickboxing and fight and train with a lot of Westerners. So he's adapted his style very well.
Yeah, I saw that podcast with you and Joe.
Yeah.
You were getting a bit flirty with him, I noticed. Oh, Joe!
Right. Anyway, next one in the tournament. That was number 13 of the night. Fight number 13 of the night. That was Yosin Klai versus Sami Sana. Wow. Speechless.
Yeah, shot the world, eh?
So, obviously, Yosin Klai was favoured to kind of win the tournament.
I don't know about that.
Against Petrosian, people kind of predicted it would be those two.
Of course. But I still think if you look at it, with the eyes of a pure kickboxing spectacle, Petrosian is number one. I'd be the best kickboxer in the world.
Yeah, the doctor.
Yodson Clyde would have been number two in my book, my eyes.
Well, as the final, predicted it as his final fight, people did think it would be Yodson Clyde against Petrosian. But obviously, last night showed a lot different.
Yeah, an amazing fight. Sana, you forget how tall he is, 191 centimetres.
Wow.
I think Yodson Clyde is 178. So, and he used his range to perfection.
See, Yodson Clyde, he just wasn't really throwing much weapons out yesterday. He didn't seem in it. He got dropped in the first, and I thought that was it really. But he got back into it, and still he didn't show much power as he used to show. Sami took control.
Well, Yodson Klai had knee surgery a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and
so I thought
this was before he was fighting in ONE when I was commentating at Kunlun. And he just came back from knee surgery, and he was always talking about how much pain he was in after the fights because of his knee.
Yeah.
And he did actually, I don't remember if you remember this, but he retired.
He did actually retire. Well, he did retire. Then he kind of got bought out by a Chinese sponsor, which is at Aiwei.
Yeah, so if anyone can see that he's now Yodson Klai, is it Aiwei, Fairtex, or a Chinese company bought him. Do you know who Fairtex bought Yodson Klai from?
No.
Pechindi.
Really?
Yeah.
He was signed.
I think it was about around a million baht that they signed him for,
years and
years ago. And then I think they sold him for around 10 million baht.
Damn.
So what an investment that
Profit.
Was.
Profit.
Yeah.
So anyway, they sold him off at the same time, around the same time he needed the surgery. So I don't know if that was a smart move on Fairtex.
Well, to be fair, we've seen him in ONE before with those 4-ounce gloves.
Yeah.
I mean, he's looked like an absolute animal, like a savage, back to his old ways. Mm. So I think either he's been under training, or let's just give props to Sani Sana because he fought a tremendous fight.
Yes, yeah, Sani is very good.
He caught Yatsen Klai with that front kick to the face.
Oh,
in the third.
A couple of times.
Yeah, he did a great job of using his range.
Yeah, I do think that Yatsen Klai didn't really train as much as he could have.
Well, you've got inside info on that, right? Why don't you tell everybody?
All right, so he did underestimate his opponent. Yatsen Klai underestimated Sami. He didn't train as well as he should have. And obviously, it showed in the ring.
Yeah, but again, big props to Sami Sana, who trains out of, I think it's Venom Gym in Pattaya as well.
Yeah.
So you've got Yatsen Klai
from Pattaya.
Yeah. So maybe they'll see each other around.
I'm sure they do. But yeah, I think Yatsen Klai might go back to China after this and go into a more of a training camp.
Well, I think the idea was that he was going to go and live in China, right, full time.
Yeah, but he didn't enjoy it.
He didn't enjoy it. Came back to Fairtex.
Yeah.
And trained there instead, and then just fought with the name Ai Wei, right?
Right.
Next.
Okay, yeah. So the next bout, that was right after this one, bout number 14 of the night. That was Petch Morakot at Petch Shindy Academy against Jarjo Petrosian. Again, it's another shocker, you know. Jarjo Petrosian, he's a favourite. You know, people love his kickboxing style. He's usually so clean, so accurate, shows great use of combinations and powerful, but
in many people's eyes, I think he's considered the pound for pound best kickboxer ever.
I remember seeing him fight a while back and I just thought, wow, how clean. I've never seen a fighter fight as good as he did, you know, all of his combinations.
It's a weird one with Giorgio because he started so young. Remember back in the K1 days when he won the tournament twice, I believe.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm trying to think where he went. I think he started his own promotion, if you remember, Petrosian Mania. And that was in sync with Bellator Kickboxing, which I don't know if that's gone defunct now or what's happening with that. Mm-hmm. Then he went to, before that he was in Glory and he got knocked out by Andy Risty. And that was a shock to everyone, of course. But they thought maybe it was a blip. Because after that, he's been running through people. Right. He's been back to his old ways. He's back to his own standard.
I mean, we all have bad days. So.
Right, okay. So, yesterday, do you know when he was walking to the ring, I was looking at him going, oh, he's put on so much upper body muscle.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if the weight cut affected him as well or not.
He is one of the people who I did hear were struggling at the weigh-in.
Really?
It was actually Petrosian and Yatsen Klai, both of them looked pretty awful at
really?
Both weigh-ins.
I believe it.
Yeah, so I think it definitely affected their performances of the night.
You know, I've got to admit, when I first saw that bracket and I saw Petrosian against Pet Morakot, I thought, that is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought, how is Pet Morakot in this tournament for one?
Yeah, I thought that too.
65 to 67 Muay Thai fighter, a stadium fighter, who used to clinch a lot, right? That's how he would beat Sanjay. He would just grab a hold of him, knee him, and just use his height to his advantage. So I thought, oh, well, Shachi's done a favour there to Boat.
Yeah.
And got Pet Morakot a payday.
There's definitely some strategy in there of like the choices.
But you remember Giorgio fought Sawgrau Petchindy, right? And tuned him up.
Killed him.
It was embarrassing. So when I saw that, I thought, this is ridiculous.
Well, since that, though, Petchindy Academy, they did bring in that boxer coach.
Yeah, I'm not sure his name, McGriff, I think, from the Mayweather gym to work on the hands of the fighters and Petchindy. And he's worked for Petchdam, for Savas Michael, who's an up-and-comer. He's looking tremendous. Mm. And obviously for Pet Morakot, because he did catch Giorgio Petrosian with some right hooks during that fight.
But I still thought that Petch Morakot came out a bit more Muay Thai style. He was a little bit slower in the first and second. So I actually thought that Petrosian got the first and the second. And then maybe on the third, okay, maybe he slipped in and got that round. Petrosian looked a bit tired in the third round.
I actually agree with you. I think that Petrosian, in the first round, Petch Morakot was like, well, what have I let myself in for here?
Yeah.
But then he started to move forward. He started to throw that right hook and then he was starting to catch him with knees. Now, I think in one, you're allowed to clinch for 3 seconds. I think that's
in
the rule.
In kickboxing rules.
In the one kickboxing rules, I think you're allowed to clinch for around 3 seconds before the referee separates you. And then that's where he was connecting with those knees. But if I'm being honest...
It's still debatable.
I'd have to watch it again. And I think I will watch it again to see, but... Pet Morakot was very happy with his work at the end.
I mean, That's traditional Thai style, though. You know, they always seem confident at the end of the fight, no matter win or lose. They try and put on that show, they're trying to act like they're winning.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say that you thought the fact that he was clinching more was more Thai style. But you're saying that the fact that he was raising his hands, of course, that's very Thai.
The whole Thai style, when you're starting off the round one, two, as slow, you're getting more into it in round three. And then, at the end, you dance around a little bit. You show your confidence that you think you've won. You know, usually in the Thai stadiums, you'll do that to kind of influence the gamblers. So,
yeah, I think...
He's still stuck with that way a little bit.
But honestly, the result itself, actually just looking at the result, not the performance, because again, I do think it's debatable whether Petr Maricot actually won. Based on the performance, that's one of the biggest upsets in combat sports history. I generally believe that.
I think so. I'm talking
Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson. I'm talking that Sato knockout of Buakaw, Matt Serra knocking out GSP. Petr Maricot defeating Giorgio Petrosian is up there for me.
Absolutely crazy. I mean... I saw a lot of people on Facebook. Everyone was very, very shocked at what had happened.
There was some people who were shocked. There were some people saying well, don't sleep on Petr Maricot. He's been a Lumpini Stadium champion for a reason. But a lot of fans of Petrosian were very angry, pissed off, if I'm being honest, with that result.
Being a Lumpini champion and then going to fight in an international standard promotion, the styles are very different.
Yeah, but it gives you a good base.
Of course it does.
It means that you're a bad man if you can get a Lumpini Stadium Championship title.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good base for any combat sports.
Well, I think that the majority of people, they kind of do think that the fight went to more Petrosian way. But then again, as you mentioned earlier, Chatri is pretty close with Boat from Pet Shindy. And I think it's very strategic of him to have that relationship, you know. Fairtex being one of the biggest gyms in Thailand, and also Pet Shindy being one of the biggest gyms in Thailand and promotions.
Sure.
So well, anything it's definitely that, a good friendship to keep.
For sure. Anything that's mutually beneficial like that is great. And bringing in Smoking Joe was great because he's, as you know, his English is really good.
Yeah, his English is great. What was his interview? Yeah. What did he say? He's better than all of them.
Oh, right. Oh, all the fighters.
All the fighters. All the Thai fighters, he says he's better than all of them.
I believe he's ready for
any fight that comes.
He lives in America.
Yeah, he lives in America. He's got that confidence. It's got the bit of a Western influence. And also, he's willing to learn all the time. And that's one of the great things about Joe, is because a lot of the Thai fighters, they get to a level where they think they know everything. Whereas Joe, he's always keen to learn more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. They rest on the laurels a bit.
Yeah.
Saying that, though, you look through the years at Buakaw and Sanchai, two of the best. They train like animals, like warriors. So... there's exceptions to the rule, but in general. If a lot of people who hang around Muay Thai gyms, especially in Thailand, you'll see the older Thai fighters taking it a little bit more easy than the rest of the fighters, for sure. Shall we go for predictions for the next round? What do you reckon?
Yes, let's do that.
All right, so that will be...
Who is up for the next round?
So we've got Askarov against Sami Sanna. What do you reckon?
Sami.
I'm going Sami as well, for sure.
He's got that longer range. He uses more weapons. Askarov. He relies too much on his power shots.
Askarov's just a very similar fight to Yodsenkai, really. Apart from the rolling thunder that he throws, I don't know if he could be able to reach up to 191, to be honest. But yeah, I would go Sanna. I would go Sanna on that. Do you know when the semi-final is going to take place?
I don't. I heard maybe like in 2 months or so.
That would make sense. Around September time, and then maybe the finals at the end of the year.
We'll have to see, because I think it will be in Singapore.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I know they have a one in Thailand in August.
Oh, really? Well, that would be a good... that's a good time, right? Mm-hmm. That's a couple of months down the line.
But, I mean, they had one in Thailand just last week, so...
Well, they just travel around Southeast Asia, right, where it's popular. But yeah, I could see that. But yeah, Askarov against Sanna, I'm going to go Sanna. Now, here's the one for you. Yeah. Petr Maricot against Smoking Joe.
I'm going to have to say Smoking Joe, and I'm not just being biased, but I think that Joe, he's prepared to fight anyone, you know, and...
Well, I think most of the fighters are, Jade.
What I mean is, he's not scared. He doesn't even care about adapting his style, because he's prepared himself to be able to fight anyone with all the different weapons that he throws. And just from the performance yesterday, I mean, he just showed that. It was clear.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I've got to say, I do think Petrosian, even though in my eyes, he probably should have won.
Yeah.
I think he underperformed. I don't think he performed to the best of his abilities.
Agree.
I've seen Petrosian, you know, decimate people like Jordan Watson and you know, he was like the standard bearer for all of kickboxing.
Well, if Joe fought Petrosian again, that would have been an amazing rematch. I think Joe was actually looking forward to that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know because exactly. Petrosian beat Joe and beat him convincingly.
Yes. But I know for a fact that when Joe fought Petrosian, that was the first time he fought on one championship in Manila, right? Yeah. And Joe had just flown straight from the States to one championship, get ready for the weigh and everything. So he had no time to adapt his body.
Smoking Joe.
Time difference, you know, temperature difference. He had no time to adapt. So, you know, that did not play well in his part. So that's why since that fight, he knows that he has to come to Asia to do a training camp first to adapt his body before he goes to fight on one.
Yeah, look to farm on that. Yes, so you're saying Joe?
Yes, I am.
I'm going to agree. And again, not because I'm biased, not because I'm favouring the family business, but I think Petr Morakot before the Giorgio Petrosian fight was an unknown entity in the world of kickboxing, right?
Agree.
But now we're very much aware of what Petr Morakot can do. What his game plan is against someone like Giorgio Petrosian. So I think Joe could take that one. But yeah, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows, honestly?
I mean, because after yesterday,
right, yeah.
Shock of the world.
So if we go based on that, then we would have Smoking Joe against Sami Sanna in the final, right?
Yeah, that would be nice.
That fight's happened already on one championship and Joe beat him. Which would mean Joe would be the millionaire.
Hey!
That's why.
No.
So yeah, we expect that, to take... Chattery, if you're listening, give us the info. We reckon at the end of the year that would make sense, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, and... A lot of people have been saying this. Let Yatsen Klein and Petrosian fight on that card.
Really?
Yeah, why not? Let them either fight on the semi-final or give them that fight on the final.
It would be nice.
It would be nice to stick that on the card, right?
Yeah.
As a co-main event or a pre-main event to the final. I'd like to see that. And I think by the end of the year...
It would be exciting.
Yeah, they'll have a chip on the shoulder. They've got something to prove. And I think fans still love those guys as well.
Right.
And they still want to see it.
That's
so
very true.
Why not? Put it on there.
All right.
We're going to wrap this one up or do you want to talk? Can I just talk about the Holskin against Ozil fight?
Yeah.
Because that was for the world championship, the lightweight world championship. Now, I'm a massive Nicky Holskin mark. I think he's a great fighter. But Ozil did a tremendous job. It was a 5-round fight. The first two, I think, went to Holskin, and then the last three went to Ozil. And, you know, if they want to replay that, roll it back, I'd be completely happy.
He got knocked down in the first round for a knee, right? But then it was debatable. They thought it was towards the groin.
Well, to be honest, I thought it was just above.
I thought it was
stomach. But Holskin did actually apologise. So, yeah, who knows? He looked like he went down, like he got hit in the groin, to be fair to him. So,
you reckon? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But he delivered a beautiful flying knee that knocked down Holskin. Did you see that? Stunning.
Yeah, those two showed great display of kickboxing. You know, they're both of them from Netherlands.
We should also probably mention that the card this morning as well, right? Glory?
Yeah. Sitichai.
Sitichai lost to Gregorian. So that means that they fought now. That was the fifth time before.
Right.
They fought on Kunlun before. And then the other three times it was on Glory and Sitichai won. Not convincingly, but he did the job.
Yeah.
Gregorian, I've always been a massive fan of his. He fought Sitichai really well and knocked him down. And that eventually swayed the judges. I think three of the judges gave it 49-46 to Gregorian.
Wow.
So he won convincingly.
Fifth time lucky.
And I've got to say, I think that's probably pretty good for Glory. Because them two are the standard bearers for that 70kg weight division. There's not many other fighters that are coming up. Mm-hmm. If I was Glory, do you know what I would do? I would go straight to Superbon and say, sign for us. I'd throw a lot of money at Superbon.
But isn't Superbon signed with Enfusion?
I'm not sure. I think there's... You'd have to know the contracts, but I think they can...
Maybe next time I'll get some insider
information honestly.
About that. Another people to ask, people to talk to. But yeah, that would be...
Because another reason they need to grab Superbon, in my opinion, is because of one. Because they're grabbing all the talent.
Yeah.
Right? All the talent in the kickboxing world, taking it to Asia. So Glory now, they need to up their game. And I've got to say, Superbon is ranked as one of the best in the world. You've got a game. And I'd also say the same for his mate. Petr Danong, who I rate at 65 as well, as one of the best.
Great. Yeah. Both of them.
So if one aren't going to get them, Glory have got to get them in quick.
Yeah, but I mean, it really depends on what their contracts are with other promotions right now, because yeah, fighting an all-star fight and on the
right, promotion. Okay. Yeah, but like I said, I don't know if it's an exclusive contract or what. So. Well, I don't know who the owners are at Infusion, but if he's available, I would get him. I know Yodwichar is now at Bantamweight, and he's been fighting on that mass fight.
Oh, yeah, the one round.
But I don't know if it's exclusive, to be honest. So I would take a risk on Yodwichar, because he was fighting on a few of the cards in China, like EM Legend,
yeah,
and maybe on some of the Top King fights as well before they became
defunct. Well, he's his manager,
So yeah, there's definitely still some talent out there that's not signed, and I think Glory and One.
Apparently, Glory, they weren't very happy when a couple of those fighters fought on All-Star Fight.
They didn't fight.
It got cancelled.
No, they didn't fight on there. They just took photos to promote the event. That's what they were a bit miffed about.
Or maybe they were supposed to, but
yeah, because it was a deal with the army. So they thought maybe they overwrote the contracts, but Glory were like, no, you can't have.
Yeah, you can't. They're signed to Glory, and yeah, that's it. Not
exactly.
To fight in the promotion.
You can't have Petch, who's the current 65 kg title holder, who's going to fight Anvar, who trains up at Tiger Muay Thai next for the belt. And yeah, you can't use City Chai. So there you go.
No,
City Chai.
Oh, okay.
Because Yodwichar can fight All-Star. He's not signed to anyone.
Any other fights from yesterday you want to talk about? I think yesterday, just in general, was just a shock in the kickboxing world. So many.
Well, can you imagine a weekend where Yodson Klai, Giorgio Petrosian, and City Chai all lost?
I don't know what happened.
Bonkers. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. I've got to say now.
It's exciting time.
It is an exciting time, but who do I think the best 70 kg fighter is at the moment? Who's ranked number one? Maybe it's Gregorian. After winning the title against City Chai, maybe he's jumped above everyone.
So get him on one championship in...
Well, I think Glory will say something about that. They've got exclusivity, I believe.
But are Glory just up their game a little bit and know who the competition is?
Yeah, like you said, exciting times. And then, you know, remember the winner of this tournament, $1 million. They've done such a good job of promoting this featherweight kickboxing tournament. It sort of overshadowed the MMA a little bit.
It definitely did. I think I wasn't so entertained by the MMA yesterday.
I have an issue with MMA in the ring.
Yeah, there was a lot of issues. I mean, a lot of them were kind of slipping out of the ring, you know, and the people who were there at one championship had to push them back in, and then the referee had to move them back into the middle of the ring. So it was a little bit awkward.
It's a little bit awkward, but I think it's dangerous as well.
Yeah,
I think one of the reasons that they have the cage in MMA is to stop fighters potentially going out.
Right, and also they can use the cage, you know, within the fight as like part of their technique. You know, some of them, they back up against it, or they'll technically maneuver their opponent in some way by using the cage. So it's difficult for an MMA fighter.
Yeah, one of the things I would say about one championship though, the Eddie Alvarez fight, he was in another tournament in one.
Yeah,
he lost. Against the Rush, I don't know his name. Why do I not know his name? They should be promoting that fella. They should be promoting that guy. That's an incredible achievement. And Sage Northcutt, he fought.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Everyone was saying, he's Cosmo. Like, we know him because of his background in Muay Thai. But yeah, he looked like he wanted to stand with Cosmo, which was a terrible error.
Well, I mean,
30 seconds later, and he learnt the hard way.
When they said debut fight, did they mean debut MMA fight or debut on one championship?
For who?
For Sage.
Oh, no, he's fought in the UFC.
Oh, yeah.
He's a former UFC fighter.
Then
it was supposed to be like the next
happened?
Big thing. It was supposed to be like the next big thing. That really? The plan was to build him up, but then he lost a couple of fights. And then I think he let his contract run out, and then he got an opportunity with one. But yeah, he didn't look like he was trying to take down Cosmo.
I mean, did he have much time?
To what? No.
Do anything, yeah, well, really, you know? He got knocked out by in the first 20, 30 seconds.
Well, his background is, I think he's a karate point fighter.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Like, if you're... Sometimes when people are a good martial artist, it doesn't mean that you're a good fighter.
You'll have to explain that one.
Well, I mean, being a fighter, you need to have, like, more aggression. You need to have more ring confidence. It takes a lot more to be a fighter than a good martial artist.
That's the mindset,
it's different,
right?
Yeah, it's a mindset, yeah.
Sure. Shall we wrap this up?
Yeah, okay. So thank you, everyone. That was episode 6. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah, and we'll see you next time, right, for the semi-final. We'll do another recap.
We'll see you again then.
Yeah. Bye for now.
Bye.